over 1,000 parts per million of just hydrocarbon. And I changed the oil and put in one liquid ring, and 200 miles later, the engine was only putting out about half that amount of hydrocarbon.
For more information on liquid ring or to place your order, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245. Liquid Ring is now available through the American Freedom Radio Network.
American Freedom Network, and our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so it's just going to be you and me. And if you'd like to call in, our number 970-689-8255, but hold off until you know what we're talking about, because I think this is so vitally important. It was the evening of January 20th, 2001, when the President of the United States, newly elected President George W. Bush, addressed the nation with his first inaugural address, and this is what he said in his concluding remarks. After the Declaration of Independence was signed, Virginia statesman John Page wrote to Thomas Jefferson, "We know the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Do you not think that an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs the storm?" Much time has passed since Jefferson arrived for his inauguration. The years and changes accumulate, but the theme of this day, he would know. Our nation's grand strategy of courage and its simple dream of dignity. We're not the story's author who fills time and eternity with his purpose, yet his purpose is achieved in our duty, and our duty is fulfilled in service to one another. Never tiring, never yielding, never finishing, we renew that purpose today, to make our country more just and generous, to affirm the dignity of our lives and every life. Now, those are beautiful words. But what was he saying? I mean, certainly we should help another, and we should be true, and certainly our lives are important. But what's this about Thomas Jefferson, and what's this about the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong? Well, very few people understood the significance of what George Bush said, because it was basically a coded message. It was an embedded message in that, and it was aimed at people who really look at the world differently than you and I do. Who is John Page? Why doesn't the swiftest runner win the race, or the strongest warrior win the battle? I mean, isn't that the way the world is, or is there another meaning in that message? Who is the angel that rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? That was the term that was used. And what is the storm? Well, President Bush concluded his first inaugural address repeating that statement. The work continues. This story goes on. And an angel still rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. In other words, the same storm that was there at the time of the American Revolution is going on today, and the angel is still directing the storm. Well, then, millions of Americans listened to President Bush's second inaugural address on the 20th of January, 2005. Once again, very few people understood the coded message that was embedded there. Yet, and this is what he said, "Yet because we have acted in the great liberating tradition of this nation, tens of millions have achieved their freedom. And as hope kindles hope, millions more will find it. By our efforts, we have lit a fire as well, a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world." Now, those are beautiful words again, but what's he talking about? Fire in the minds of men? I mean, that's a phrase that probably not one in 10,000 Americans know. Those people who listen to our programs regularly will recognize it's a code word. It's a code word that's referring to a book that was written by James H. Billington, a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, the Librarian of Congress, part of the ruling elite who rules our nation. And, of course, when you understand what the fire in the minds of men is, you can understand why America is fighting in the Middle East, is going to attack Iran, who is going to plunge the world into a third world war. There is an agenda going on here. It is the same agenda that existed when John Page wrote to Thomas Jefferson at the time when our Declaration of Independence had been signed. Now, during the closing segment of President Bush's second address, he said this: when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. But most people had no idea what he was saying. What was this new order of the ages? What was the ancient hope that was meant to be fulfilled? You see, as these words go by you, as these phrases go by you, unless you understand they are coded, they are embedded, only the elite, the ruling elite, can understand their meaning. But people throughout the world who are part of the movement that George Bush represents, and of course, you must understand, George Bush is simply a figurehead. He did not write his speeches. If you've ever met him, you'll realize he's not smart enough to really come out with these beautiful and flowery phrases. George Bush is simply a figurehead for the men who really rule our nation. Who are they? Well, Dick Cheney coordinates the executive branch of government. He clears all of President Bush's speeches. And Dick Cheney, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission before he became and was selected by them to become our vice president, Dick Cheney carries out the programs of the Trilateral Commission, and they know exactly what they're doing. They selected George Bush to become our president. They selected Dick Cheney to become our vice president, and they control the vast amounts of what the American people think. Now, Senator Barry Goldwater tried to warn the American people what was going on before he passed away, and he tried to tell them that the Trilateral Commission was intent upon taking control of the political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastic centers of our nation. Now, you have to understand that the money is the very foundation of any society. You have to have a stable currency to have a stable society. And, of course, the last two chairmen of the Federal Reserve System just happened to be members of the Trilateral Commission. I mean, there are only about 300 members, and yet out of the entire world, they could only find two people to become the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board, Paul Volcker, Alan Greenspan. Both came from the Trilateral Commission. We'll be back in just a moment here. And, of course, we'll welcome your call. 970-689-8255. But first I want to tell you what Barry Goldwater tried to tell us. Nobody listened.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more, because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential protein, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, and of course, we were talking about how George Bush is simply a figurehead. He is really not that smart. He couldn't write these speeches at all. He has a great deal of difficulty, you know, even in a press conference, coming through in an articulate manner, stumbles over words, actually mispronounces many words. If he is in a press conference and he doesn't have a prepared speech, if he doesn't have prepared questions from the audience, why, of course, he has foot-and-mouth disease. So it, certainly it is Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was a member of the Trilateral Commission, one of the small elect group who rules not only our nation, but rules the world. And, of course, Dick Cheney has been implementing the Trilateral Commission's programs under the shadow of their broken cross. Now, certainly Senator Barry Goldwater, before he passed away, I wrote a book called With No Apologies, and if you can get your hands on it, get it and read it and reread it and read again the section on America's unelected rulers. And this is what he said, and I've simply excerpted this from his book. The Trilateral Commission is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political government of the United States. Now, what he's really saying, it is to be the multinational, in other words, worldwide consolidation of the commercial and banking interests of the world by first seizing control of the political government of the United States. In other words, they were going to use the financial and military power of the United States to control the world. So let me reread the first sentence. The Trilateral Commission is intended to be the vehicle for multinational consolidation of the commercial and banking interests by seizing control of the political government of the United States. In my view, the Trilateral Commission represents a skillfully coordinated effort to seize control and consolidate the four centers of power: political, monetary, intellectual, and ecclesiastical. The Commission emphasizes the necessity of eliminating artificial barriers to world commerce, tariffs, export duties, quotas. What is proposed to substitute is an international economy managed and controlled by international monetary groups through the mechanism of international conglomerate manufacturing and business enterprises. Freedom, spiritual, political, economic, is denied any importance in the trilateral construction of the next century. In other words, they're going to control the world, and they're not concerned about freedom. It's all going to be economic, sort of like it is in China today. That is the ideal state, an authoritarian government which is fully supported by the leaders of our government that crushes any effort at individual freedom. As long as you go along with the system and don't rock the boat, you can prosper. But if you step out of line, they'll crush you. And I recall, of course, David Rockefeller organized the Trilateral Commission in 73, and it was that very same year, in August of that year, when David Rockefeller had returned from China, and by that time, they had just recently finished killing off 43 million of their own people in the Great Starvation between 1958 and 1962. Now, this was 10 years later, actually, when he was writing this article in 73 in the New York Times. That killed 43 million people. Not a word of it in the American media. And if you want to get the background of the Great Hunger, you can go up on your internet, Google in the Great Hunger, or certainly Stephen Mosier's book. Stephen Mosier lived in China, knew many of the government officials, and that was their estimate. If you want to get the page out of his book, A Mother's Ordeal, or A Woman's Mother's Ordeal, I guess it is, we'll send it to you, where he talks about the 43 million people who had been slaughtered. But David Rockefeller, writing in 1973, David Rockefeller, who organized the Trilateral Commission, said, you know, this social experiment in China under Chairman Mao is one of the most important and significant in history. The social experiment in China under the leadership of Chairman Mao is one of the most important and significant in history. In other words, it's just a social experiment. You crush a few people, you kill a few million people, but it's a social experiment. And this is the man who leads the Trilateral Commission, who formed it, and of course they have an agenda. But Stephen, pardon me, Senator Barry Goldwater, we're indebted to him for what he tried to tell us. He understood the power, he understood the ruthless agenda of the Trilateral Commission, but he never understood the spiritual force that motivates these men or the significance of their logo. Now, President Bush certainly, in his second inaugural address, stated that we have lit a fire in the minds of men. What's he talking about? Well, he was referring to the movement that Dostoevsky had described in his classic book, The Possessed. And the best source of information on that subject is James H. Billington's book, Fire in the Minds of Men, which, incidentally, is available from Radio Liberty. And if you don't have it in your library, shame on you. It's such an important book because it really goes into the background of this whole movement. And, of course, the leaders, the intellectuals, understand the origin of the fire in the minds of men. In fact, James H. Billington's book is entitled Fire in the Minds of Men, and it describes the secret societies and occult organizations that sparked the revolutionary movement that swept across Europe in the 18th and 19th centuries and, of course, is being promoted today by the Trilateral Commission. Now, here's what Dr. Billington wrote, and I've simply excerpted this from his book. The Industrial Revolution was permitting men to unleash fire to machines and to unleash firepower on each other with a force undreamed of in earlier ages. In the midst of these fires appeared the more elusive flame that Dostoevsky described in the most searching work of fiction ever written about the revolutionary movement, The Possessed. Dostoevsky was writing under the impact of two great fires that disturbed him deeply and heralded the transfer of revolutionary leadership from France to Russia. Of course, he was writing in the 1870s. Dostoevsky had been a revolutionary, had turned back to God, and of course was trying to warn people, even at that time, of the demonic nature of what this was about. And I continue with my quotation. Dostoevsky depicted a stagnant provincial town that was suddenly inspired by new ideas. And shortly after a turbulent literary evening, a mysterious fire broke out, and a local official shouted into the nocturnal confusion, "The fire is in the minds of men, not in the roofs of buildings." And now, certainly that is so true, ladies and gentlemen. The fire is in the minds of men who want to remake the world, who want to destroy Christianity, who want to destroy the existing forms of government. And today, they wield great power, for they've been richly rewarded for their efforts. Now, Dr. Billington discussed the secret societies that fomented the revolutionary movement in Europe and changed the world. And this is what he wrote. The revolutionary faith was shaped not so much by the critical rationalism of the French Enlightenment, as is generally believed, as by the occultism and proto-romanticism of Germany. This faith was incubated in France during the revolutionary era within a small subculture of literary intellectuals who were immersed in journalism, fascinated by secret societies, and subsequently infatuated with ideologies as a secular surrogate for religious belief. The flame of faith had begun its migration a century earlier, when some European aristocrats transferred their lighted candles from Christian altars to Masonic lodges. The flame of occult alchemists, which had promised to turn dross into gold, reappeared at the center of new circles seeking to recreate a golden age. Bavarian illuminists conspired against the Jesuits, French Philadelphians against Napoleon, and Italian charcoal burners against the Habsburgs. Now, certainly, Dr. Billington's discussion of the French Revolution and the part that the Illuminati and the European Masonry played in inciting the revolution in Europe, he did a wonderful job on that, but he totally ignored the part that American Freemasonry played in fomenting the American Revolution, except for a passing reference to Benjamin Franklin's membership in the Nine Sisters Masonic Lodge, and this is what he wrote. The occultism of the old world blended with the revolutionism of the new through two of Court's closest associates in Paris, Benjamin Franklin and M.L.E. Merode de St. Mary. Franklin, who arrived in Paris from the real Philadelphia just before Christmas in the revolutionary year 1776, was initiated by Court into the Nine Sisters because it became its venerable master and collaborated with Court on the lodge's 15-volume collection of political miscellany. Now, of course, Court was one of the conspirators. He was part of this European occult movement, and Benjamin Franklin joined that occult movement. Most people admire Benjamin Franklin because he was a brilliant scientist, a homespun philosopher, but he signed the Declaration of Independence. He was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention, and he was a founding father of our nation, but Benjamin Franklin was a Rosicrucian. He was a Freemason. He was one of the three men who designed the occult emblem that's displayed on the back of the dollar bill today, and he was a prominent member of the worldwide revolutionary occult movement of his era that is being perpetuated by the members of the Trilateral Commission today. Thomas Jefferson had a similar pedigree. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. He was a founding member of our nation, our founding father. He was one of the three men who designed the occult emblem that's displayed on the back of the dollar bill. But he supported the French Revolution. He wrote a letter that supported the Jacobins, and that was the Illuminati. He wrote a letter that lauded Adam Weishaupt, who created the Illuminati. He befriended Thomas Paine, who tried to destroy Christian belief in our country, and he initiated a man named Edward Genet, who was a Jacobin, into the mysteries. And following the defeat of the Whiskey Rebellion, why, Edward Genet wrote a letter to Thomas Jefferson that stated, and I quote, "Whatever, sir, may be the result of the exploit of which you have rendered yourself the generous instrument, after having made me believe you are my friend, after having initiated me in the mysteries which have influenced my hatred against all who aspire to absolute power." Now, what were the mysteries? Well, the mysteries were the secrets that have been passed down through the ages by the secret societies. And, of course, you can trace these back to ancient Babylon. You can trace them back to ancient Egypt and Assyria. You can trace them through Pythagoras and Socrates and Plato and Aristotle and Alexander the Great, and we have this wonderful book written, I think, by Scott Hively or Kively, Plutarch's The Life of Alexander, where Alexander the Great is writing to Aristotle and complaining because Aristotle has written a book about the beliefs of the mysteries, and Alexander says, you know, you've schooled me in the mysteries, and now you've written a book about it, and the mysteries give me the power to do what I do, and I'll lose my power over men now that they understand. And Aristotle writes back and says, you don't understand. I mean, you can read all you want to about the mysteries, but unless you've been told the secret, why, you know, you can't access it, because it is so incomprehensible, in essence. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's, and anybody who wants to read the pages will be glad to send them to you. I mean, even at that time, here we're talking, about 250, 300 BC, why, The mysteries were there. They've always been passed down. And what is the secret? Well, the secret is there are two gods. I mean, there's the superior God who gives you real power and gives you liberty. And then, of course, there's the God of the Bible, a sub-God who created the heavens and the earth. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. But basically, you have to understand that Thomas Jefferson was involved in the occult. Now, we don't like to think about that, but let me give you this quotation. It comes from the master thoughts of Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson was a brilliant man, but he was terribly misled in his younger years. And when we get back, I'll tell you what he wrote.
Of Griffin Automotive, one of the proud sponsors of Rabbi Spivak's program. We are family-owned and operated, your new car alternative, specializing in one-owner, low-mileage Hondas, Toyotas, and Subarus, meticulously maintained, priced from $2,000 to $10,000. See us at Foothills in Pearl and Boulder, or call us at 303-447-9991. 303-447-9991.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
Find out how BioSuperfood has helped thousands of people everywhere, providing health benefits for heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, liver disorders, osteoarthritis, glaucoma, depression, allergies, nervous system disorders, and much more. BioSuperfood is making an impact on how people everywhere approach health and nutrition. Join Dr. Roland Thomas every second Friday at 2 p.m. on the Danette Daniels Show, KHNC 1360 AM.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Hi, I'm Ann Johnson, owner of Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and we were simply going into the background of George Bush's inaugural addresses, and in both of them, there were secret coded and embedded messages that you really can't understand unless you understand the revolutionary ferment that existed throughout the world back in 1776. There was a desire to overthrow all existing governments and destroy the Catholic Church, certainly in Europe, and prevent it from having any hold here, because it was felt to be a corrupt political body that had very little to do with Christianity. And this revolutionary ferment that originated in America and led to the American Revolution was simply part of the continuing world revolution and the Second Revolution in France in 1789, where, of course, they destroyed the existing monarchy, and they killed, you know, the king and the queen, and then tens of thousands of people and blood ran in the streets, and they killed the priests, and they killed the nuns, and they destroyed the church, and the Catholic Church, and seized all of its property, and then, of course, within a few years, why, they had another dictator. His name was Napoleon Bonaparte. And then, of course, there was a revolution, you know, later on in 1848, another one in the 1870s, and France went from revolution to revolution to revolution because they had no stability, and they destroyed the religious faith of the people, which is why France is such a basket case today. But they've done the same thing in Germany and in England, and they're doing the same thing right here in America today. There is a conspiracy against God. You can see it all around you. There's a conspiracy against Christianity, and it's an ongoing conspiracy, but it began in 1776 with a fire in the minds of men. Now, this is what Thomas Jefferson wrote, and if you'd like to see the pages, it comes from a wonderful book written in 1907 by the bar of the state of New York. At that time, why these people cherished what Jefferson wrote, and I do as well, recognizing that he was a brilliant individual, but of course he did not believe in the divinity of Jesus Christ. He was searching for meaning in the world, and he turned to the country of spirits, as he said. And of course these people were looking for the real source of power and understanding. Jefferson believed in a God. He just could not accept and the deity of Christ. He loved what he taught about turning the other cheek and kindness, but he was too much of an egotist ever to give himself up to let Jesus Christ come into his life and transform his life. But this is what Jefferson wrote as in old age. And you must understand that there was a fight between Jefferson and John Adams. John Adams certainly had been a Mason, but he never accepted his occult beliefs. And he certainly never accepted the Illuminati that Jefferson, I believe, had joined. Part of this movement to destroy the existing social structure of Europe and replace it with this utopia where men could truly be free. And there was a conflict between Adams and Jefferson for many years until Jefferson finally gave up his beliefs. And this is what Jefferson wrote as he grew older. The laws of nature have withheld from us the means of physical knowledge for the country of spirits, and revelation has, for reasons unknown to us, chosen to leave us in the dark as we were. When I was young, I was fond of the speculations which seemed to promise some insight into that hidden country. But observing at length that they left me in the same ignorance to which they found me, I have for many years ceased to read and think concerning them, and repose my head upon the pillow of ignorance which a benevolent Creator has made so soft for us. And, of course, he believed in God, but he could never simply give up because of his ego and simply submit to the rule of our Lord. Well, most people don't want to accept the fact that the author of the Declaration of Independence rejected Christianity, but he did. Thomas Jefferson was reared in a Christian community. He attended church almost every Sunday. He studied the Bible regularly. He believed in the Creator. He accepted the philosophy that Jesus taught, but he rejected the deity of Jesus Christ and looked elsewhere for guidance. And, of course, if you study, you go up on the Internet and Google in Jefferson and Masonry, you'll find out that there's a great deal of evidence that he was a Mason. And the people have really studied this, like David Bay and John Daniels, who wrote Scott and the Beast. They believe that Thomas Jefferson was involved in the Illuminati, and so do I, because certainly, although George Washington warned American Masonry about the danger of the Illuminati, Thomas Jefferson never did. He wrote letters supporting the Jacobins and supporting Adam Weishaupt, and you'll find these on the Internet, or we can send them to you if you doubt that. But, of course, because he felt there was so much injustice in the Catholic Church, and there was injustice in the Catholic Church, he sided with the Illuminati's effort to destroy Catholicism, to destroy the monarchies of Europe, which depended upon the authority of the Catholic Church for the divine right of kings, without ever understanding that the Illuminati was a continuation of the teaching of the ancient mysteries. And what did the ancient mysteries teach? Well, we'll get to that in just in a moment or two, as we begin getting into Albert Pike's writing. Now, Albert Pike was writing in 1871, and this is what Albert Pike wrote. Now, we're talking about 100 years after Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence. And the Mason is familiar with these doctrines of Philo, that the supreme being is the center of light, whose rays of emanation pervade the universe. And the word light, of course, is a capital L, which means it's divine. What? Why would you make light a divine word? Well, let me continue. For that is the light for which all Masons journey or search. That light and darkness, chief enemies from the beginning of time, dispute with each other the empire of the world, that the world was created not by the supreme being, but by a secondary agent, who is but his word. Let me read that last sentence. But the world was created not by the supreme being, but by the secondary agent, who is but his word. Well, I thought God created the heaven and the earth. Who is this secondary being that created the heaven and the earth? Well, of course, that's the God we worship. The supreme being is the light. The supreme being is Lucifer. That is the mystery that has been passed down through the ages. If you open yourself to Lucifer's leading, you will have great power. You will have great opportunity for wealth. You can have a wonderful, wonderful life here, and you can have total liberty, because the God of the Bible has all these crazy rules. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not kill. And, of course, Lucifer releases you from all of those things. You become the determinant of right's right and wrong. And if you want to do those things, that's fine. As incredible as it may seem, there are a small group of people today who worship Lucifer, and that is the source of their power. And these people access the other dimension. There is another dimension. You can access it, but at the risk of eternal damnation. And this is so poorly understood today. This is what is motivating everything going on in the world today. Have you ever looked at the logo of the Trilateral Commission? You go up on the internet, you can pull it down. And when we get back, I'll tell you what it is.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Are you trying to make sense of a world gone mad? Can rising interest rates, huge budget and trade deficits, American jobs shift to China, and open borders really be good for America? Can a collapsing dollar, skyrocketing fuel prices, minimum wage jobs, and a wrecked social security system really lead us into economic prosperity? Who's going to buy your 401k as the baby boomers retire, selling out 70% of the U.S. equity markets when they go? Don't get caught holding the bag. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 480-575-7525. We offer all forms of gold and silver shipped and delivered at the utmost privacy at the most competitive pricing in the country. Nobody does it better. Call 480-575-7525 and we'll be happy to quote your prices or send you out a free brochure. Remember, hard assets will be there when all else fails. Call 480-575-7525 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You've got my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, I understand back here at the American Freedom Network, and we were simply talking about what is the driving force behind the world today. Why are we going to war with Iran? Why are we fighting in Iraq today? Why is the government allowing, you know, uncontrolled immigration into our country, not 11 or 12 million, but 20 million? Why won't they enforce the laws? Why? Because there is a world revolution going on today. The effort is to destroy the sovereignty of our nation. The effort is to bankrupt our people. The effort is to kill our young men, to bring havoc on this country, because if we attack Iran, there will be reprisals, and I believe there will be a nuclear reprisal on this country. And where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Why, they've been compromised. And where is the outcry from our political leaders? They've been compromised. And there are only a few of us who really understand what it's about. We were talking about the logo of the Trilateral Commission. Go up on the Internet, type it in. You'll see pictures of it. What is it? It's a circle. And within, if you look carefully, you'll see three sixes. And in the center of that, you'll see an upside-down broken cross with the arms of the cross pointing downward. It's all symbology. It's a symbology of a satanic organization. But they use these things. They hide these things in sight, for they worship a different god. Some of the people know exactly what they're doing. The average person doesn't understand. But, of course, there are a few people who did. Now, let's get into the hidden messages embedded in the president's inaugural addresses. And let's get into the first inaugural address. After the Declaration of Independence was signed, Virginia statesman John Payne wrote to Thomas Jefferson, "We know the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong." Now, who was John Payne? Well, he was a Virginia, a member of the Virginia legislature. He attended William and Mary with Thomas Jefferson. They became friends, and they wrote back and forth in coded messages, coded letters. Why did they use coded letters? Messages, because they didn't want people to know what they were talking about. After all, throughout the ages, people who have been part of the mysteries always use codes, because, of course, if people were to understand what this is really all about, why, they would be in real trouble. That's why they burned Jacques de Molay, for whom the Masonic de Molay organization today is named. They burned Jacques de Molay at the stake, you know, in about 1308 or 1309 in France. Because, of course, society cannot exist when you have people who worship Lucifer in key positions. So, basically, you know, you get into the background of John Page, and they're writing back and forth. Certainly many people, if you read the writings of David Bay or John Daniels, many others, they believe that Jefferson had joined the Illuminati without ever understanding the real implications of what he was getting into. Now, if you get into the phrase of the race was not for the swift and the battle for the strong, where does that phrase come from? What are they talking about? Well, if you read the scriptures, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, you'll find this phrase: "I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, and not yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all." And basically, if you read the end of Ecclesiastes, the plea is, you know, fear God and keep his commandments. And there are lots of things out there you're not going to understand that seem to be unjust. This is Solomon's book of the Ecclesiastes. And, of course, he's saying, in essence, that God determines what goes on, and there's a great deal of unfairness in the world, and the swiftest don't necessarily win the base, the bravest don't necessarily win the battle, but God determines what's going on. The question is, what God were they talking about? And they were not talking about the God of the Bible. Now, what does it mean? It means that both men were well versed in the scriptures. They realized things happened by chance. they wanted to remedy the situation. And then, of course, it goes on to say, do you not think that an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? Do you not think that an angel rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm? What are they talking about? Well, the phrase really comes from, let's see, the verse of Nahum. And Nahum, if you read it, it's one of the very, very short books at the end of the Old Testament. Nahum was a prophet, and he was prophesying the doom, the destruction of Nineveh. You remember, of course, Jonah had gone to Nineveh, and because the people had repented, why the society was saved. But Nahum came along, 60 years later, and tells them they're going to be destroyed, and that's basically what this verse is referring to. It is, God is jealous, and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he brings wrath upon his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. And then it goes on to simply say that he will have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So basically, they are prophesizing the destruction of society. And this is what the whirlwind and the storm is. They understand the Bible. They understand that God brings vengeance. But what God are they talking about? They're talking about, of course, the God that they have come to worship, who is going to destroy the Catholic Church, who is going to destroy the corrupt monarchies of Europe. And this is part of the world revolutionary movement. And remember how, of course, George Bush ends his first inaugural address, where he talks about and the angel still rides in the whirlwind and directs this storm. And what is he talking about? The world revolution is continuing today, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, America is leading it. We're bringing freedom to the world. We're destroying all existing governments and replacing them with communist governments. And that's as we're doing in Nepal today. And Nepal will be taken over by the Maoists. And just as we brought Fidel Castro to power in Cuba, as we brought the communists to power in China, as we brought the communists to power in the Sandinista, as we put the Ayatollah Khomeini in power back in 1979, the world revolution is underway. Everything is to be destroyed. Utopia lies ahead. People who control the wealth of the world are using the financial and military power of the United States to change the world. We'll be right back to wrap up today's program.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPane.
Well, Dr. Stan here, and finishing up this morning's program. This was my April newsletter. We're just in the process of getting this finished up now. If any of you would like the text of what we said, we'd be glad to get it for you. You'll have to request specifically the April newsletter. We hope, of course, many of you will join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you get the letters on a regular basis, and they come out monthly. We agonize over every one of them, trying to come up with things that will help you understand the spiritual battle we're engaged in today. They intend to destroy this country. Do you think it's simply by accident that that General Motors is on the verge of bankruptcy? This was planned back in 1969. And if you doubt that, we have a wonderful four-tape set called The New Order of Barbarians, which is the recollections of a doctor who attended a meeting in 1969 where Richard Day, who is the medical director of Planned Parenthood, laid out the whole plan of what he called the order that ruled the world at that time. And Dr. Day was one of them, but he seemed to think that, you know, maybe at least people should know what was going on. One of the most revealing four tape sets, The New Order of the Barbarians, is available only through our ministry and Randy Engels. If you'd like to order it, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family and help us as we reach out, trying to sound a voice of sanity in a world gone mad. Again, 1-800-544-8927. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get the video, the audio tape. If you want something more dramatic, of course, we tell the same story a lot longer in a talk called the Secrets of the Illuminati. It's a talk we gave for the Prophecy Club, which, of course, gives you the background of the secret societies that rule the world today. But go up on the Internet and look at the logo of the Trilateral Commission. Understand they hide their emblems in plain sight. They think you're too stupid to ever understand, because these people have great intellect. But, of course, they worship a different god. They dream a different dream. And they want to destroy our society, and they're in the process of doing it, and they will succeed. Unless, of course, the American people understand. Unless the American people turn back to God. Unless we have a great revival in this nation, our nation is doomed. And then I look to our religious leaders, and what are they doing? They're talking about all the wrong issues. They're talking about the symptoms of the disease rather than the source of the disease. And until we understand there is a conspiracy against God, why we will never be able to address what's going on in the world today. Of course, if you have not yet seen my video of the World Revolution, and there you'll see the interview I did back in 1980 with the American ambassador to Cuba, where he tells you that, yes, we knew Fidel Castro was a communist. Yes, we brought him to power knowing he was a communist. Yes, we toppled the existing government there. And we're doing that all throughout the world and bringing ruthless communist regimes to power. And if we will do that to other countries, why don't you think that's going to happen here? And you can see it happening as we use the threat of the wicked Osama bin Laden to justify giving up our freedom here at home. This whole thing is engineered, it's as phony as a $3 bill. You know, they know where Osama bin Laden is. In fact, he may even be dead. But don't you worry, we're going to see his picture up on the television screen, and we will shudder in terror. Osama bin Laden, the enemy of Big Brother. Reread 1984. Understand how it all fits together. You're seeing it enacted. I believe Orwell, of course, had his message channeled to him, as do so many of the writers of today, channeled from those demonic spirits who laugh at how foolish we are not to see what they're up to. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at AmeriFree.com.
I'm Ann Johnson. For over 11 years, I've owned a health food store. I'm an iridologist, herbalist, and perform extensive muscle testing to find out what products best meet my customers' health needs. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Vital PSP. It consistently surpasses over 3,000 samples in my test kit. My customers are having amazing fast results. Vital PSP has profound effects at DNA levels. If you struggle with any health issues, I recommend you call me, 303-833-2784.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete,